So what all do you have? A business, cars, houses, properties, bank accounts? Are you concerned that any of these can be taken away from you if someone sues you? Have you done all you can to protect all of your assets? Well, you really ought to get in touch with the experts down at Barth Calderon LLP. They're a law firm that specializes in asset protection and estate planning, and they can help you protect what's yours so that predators and creditors can't get their hands on them. Give them a call at 800-548-8564. That's 1-800-548-8564 for a free consultation. Hey, tell them the Exit Coach sent you. When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.com.
Bill Black is a registered representative with and securities offered through Crown Capital Securities LP member, FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Barth Financial Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from CCS. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of Crown Capital Securities LP or Barth Financial Advisors, LLC. California Insurance License 0652621.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, hey, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We have another great lineup of guests today. We just keep finding these fantastic authors and advisors and great thought leaders in the world of business. And we want to bring these tips and ideas home to you so that you can be well-planned. And by the way, if you want to be well-planned, you can go to ExitCoachRadio.com, our website, and you can look in our audio library and find hundreds and hundreds of interviews and short one-minute highlights and videos in our audio library there. That's ExitCoachRadio.com, a wide variety of topics to help you. You know, when you're exercising, when you're driving around, you can listen on your smartphone or your tablet and pull in some information from some of these great guests. Enjoy the show today. Thanks so much again for joining us. It's really a pleasure to have you with us. Hey everyone, this is Bill Black, the Exit Coach. You know, protecting your family and business is essential for your peace of mind. If you have legal and financial concerns that keep you awake at night, check out Albert Roche at ocbusinesslaw.com. Albert is an Orange County attorney with an MBA in finance and accounting. He's focused his practice on seniors and their families. He has in-depth knowledge and experience in the areas of estate planning, taxes, and wealth management, and supports families with their most private matters. If you need someone who will listen to you and provide expert legal and financial support, call Albert Roche at 714-432-0794. That's 714-432-0794. Or go to ocbusinesslaw.com. Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. Would you like to increase the value of your business by up to 71%? I found a great tool. I'm making it available absolutely free for listeners. Just go to bizgrowth123.com. Just answer the questions from your smartphone. You'll get an instant assessment of ways you can increase the value of your business dramatically. Try it out. Point your phone to bizgrowth123.com. That's bizgrowth123.com. This is Bill Black, the Exit Coach. Attention, business owners and construction companies. Do you know that one lawsuit can cause you to lose your business? According to the SBA, 20 out of 22 companies that get sued go out of business within 2 years. Lawsuits can be frustrating and financially draining. Gassemian Law Group has over 16 years of experience in business and construction law to give you peace of mind by not only defending you in lawsuits, but helping you avoid them in the first place. Don't wait for a lawsuit. Call for a free 20-minute phone consultation to evaluate your company's risk before trouble begins. Call 949-436-2785. That's 949-436-2785 or visit them online at www.glgattorneys.com. That's glgattorneys.com. welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. My next guest is Marty Jackness of Opportunity Maximizers Incorporated in Naples, Florida. And we're going to talk about opportunity blindness causes and cures. And let me tell you a little bit about Marty. He's the president of a marketing, sales, and management consulting and training firm. And Marty is a highly ranked professional speaker, author, entrepreneur, and trainer who helps individuals and organizations gain and maintain a competitive advantage in their chosen markets and endeavors. So let's bring Marty on. Marty, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having you, Bill. It's a pleasure.
Marty, it's our pleasure to have you on. I've been wanting to have this conversation for a little while now. I know that you're a Vistage speaker, and that's important. A lot of our listeners are Vistage members, and let's talk about how you got into this concept of opportunity maximizers. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
I was blessed with a wonderful background and career. I worked at IBM for a number of years when they were number one in the world. Then I was selling multi-million dollar leases. I was a founding officer and partner with Dr. Ellie Goldratt. And our firm was ranked the sixth fastest growing on the Inc. list for private companies in the U.S. Then I had my own management, marketing, and consulting company, and then was finally a senior VP and principal of the world's largest fudge company. But the interesting point, Bill, is in everyone's life, there's 6 days or events that are key to bring us where we are. And when I met Dr. Goldratt, interesting man, 180 IQ, went back 13 generations of writers and scholars in his family, and his dad was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence in Israel. But when we were successful, we had a board meeting. Ellie walks in and says, Marty, should I spend $1 million on this? I said, no. He said, why? I said, I know it's not going to work. He says, why won't it work? I says, Ellie, us marketing and sales characters have a special gift called intuition. I just know it won't work. He says, but in division. I said, Ellie, it's a combination of experience, education, and the third thing hard to describe we call gut. He says, what's gut? I said, Ellie, it's actually a feeling in my stomach that lets me know if it'll work or not. He says to me, you mean to tell me I should invest $1 million or not based on how your stomach should feel? And I said, yeah. He turns to me and says, Marty, what if it's gas? He then looks at me and says, Marty, you have to learn how to think. And I was a little offended because he's saying I'm thoughtless. So I went away and thought about it. And that night I couldn't sleep at all. I was 200 to 400% of everything I touched in sales and marketing in my life and realized I didn't know why. And how can I leave the company safe when I go if I'm the rainmaker and it dies with me? So I tossed and turned all night and finally came back the next morning and said, Ellie, you're right. I have to learn how to think. How do you learn how to think? He says, that's for you to figure out. And that was a moment because I realized when we have kids, all they keep asking for the first number of years is, why, Mommy, why, Daddy? And when and if you can answer the question, you watch that beautiful moment when they connect the dots and they grow. And that's how they learn. And then when they reach puberty, the why turns into I want, want. And unfortunately, we don't go back to why. That moment when Ellie said that to me, I realized the real key was why. And everything I'll be talking about today and what I've done the last 30 years was because I became proactively introspective. So that was my background. Thank you.
That's fascinating. Great story. And, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of people that can relate to that thinking, you know, I've done everything I've done on intuition, a gut feeling, I've built things, it's worked out well, but what is the why? So let's talk about this opportunity blindness, because this is one of the things that you brought up here is opportunity blindness. And what do you mean by that, Marty?
I had a learning disability when I was a kid. I was 405th out of 412 kids, but and I guess I saw the world differently. So everyone says, Marty, I can't see what you're seeing. Then I realized there's massive, massive, massive untapped, unleveraged opportunity in front of all of us at all times, and most people wear blinders going through life. And it's amazing because I'm seeing things they're not seeing. So I then had to intellectualize it. And so I came up with a little model or a little graph, and let's envision a target, a bullseye. In the middle, we'll call our comfort zone. And most of us live in that comfort zone. And then occasionally, Bill, if I said next week you have to speak to 500 CEOs on a topic you don't know, you'll be kind of afraid, but knowing you, you'll probably get together and do it. But your comfort zone will grow. And it'll grow, it'll stay larger for the rest of your life. Beyond that is a new thing I call capability boundaries that keep us there. And they're either real or perceived, but they can be moved. Beyond that is a wonderful area which no one defined before. I'm going to call it three levels of opportunity. Level one opportunities are things that are just there for the taking. If someone says, I need more sales, I say, well, how many calls a day are you making? He says, 10. You know what? If you make 11, you'll have 10% growth, okay? Or if I can increase your hit rate, if you're getting 2 out of 10 hit rate, I can teach you how to get 4, 6, or 8. So just very subtle things can make a big difference. Come in a half hour early, half hour late, do this, do that. But there's a million things in every function, in every organization, if you open the opportunity thinking light on, it's there. And those are easy, level ones. Level two, Bill, let's say you just have a college degree, and I say, Bill, if you go on for your CPA or a different degree, and it'll cost you 18 months and $60,000, you're going to wind up for the next 20 years of your life making $50,000 to $90,000 more a year. I think it's a worthwhile investment. Or if we buy a franchise, we make this investment, we have a very high probability we're going to have this return, or if we added a new branch office or a new person. So level two opportunities are open. A lot of people don't even think them or research them. And the level three opportunities are the things where someone comes with a universal idea and they have resources, and it's a much more complex thing. But the guys who started Apple and Microsoft and PayPal and Google, they know what it's all about. So I looked at it and I opened up people's minds and say, okay, take a look at what your level one, two, and three opportunities are. We defined them and created an environment where people can do it. So it's there for the taking. So I'm just saying we need to put on different opportunity lenses and filters, and it's there for us.
I love that. That's very simple for our listeners. Again, it's three levels. One's there for the taking. It's just, it might be obvious to an outsider walking in. That's where a lot of consultants play in that space, right? They come in and say, look, if you do this, you know, what are you doing now? If you do a little more of this, a little less of that, then things will be working out for you. Level two is looking for those things that are kind of a backup to move forward, a return on your investment type of a situation. And level three is vast. It's huge. It's big. It's universal. And that's where huge opportunities come from.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you come in and talk to someone, do you find that a lot of people are leaving a lot on the table by being blind to, say, especially level one is pretty simple, but what's the potential growth just working in level one because they're there for the taking?
That's a given just in the first session, but you're moving them on through it. But the real trick in business is to gain and maintain a competitive advantage in your chosen markets and endeavors. And I believe that in order to get there, you have to initiate and sustain a culture of opportunity maximization, innovation, and continuous analysis and improvement. In other words, the minute we slow down, our competitors are going to catch us. So we're on this treadmill that's getting faster and higher, and just accept it and get our people ready for it. And there's different tools and techniques that I've created which help people think and act differently. I have one tool where I call it a universal planning and communication methodology. I've presented for Visage for 20 years to almost 200, you know, groups. And I do a little exercise with the CEOs, and I demonstrate very clearly that most people don't even have an objective, or if it is, it's a self-limiting one. So I've given them a different technique which will allow them to shoot higher and get much more from it and align everyone's understanding of what the possibilities are. So besides just saying opportunities there, there's a different language and perspective. So every day you go in, you know you have to think differently. And it's very simple and very, very powerful, that kind of thing.
Why do you think most people have a self-limiting type of outlook on their life or their business?
I think we have self-limiting belief systems and planning systems. And I think that we have to take a step back. And I think because we mean well and we caution people against doing things, we inhibit them. I'm working on a concept called bumblebee moments. One scientist looked at a bumblebee and said, my God, given its size and its wings and its aerodynamics, it probably shouldn't fly. Thank God it couldn't read, otherwise we'd have no pollination. When I was started the company with Ellie, I needed money. I needed, you know, a bank loan. They were all secured. So I went to the bank and spoke to the folks and went back to the meeting, and they said, Marty, you can't get an unsecured, you know, line of credit. I said, oh, I'm glad you didn't tell me that earlier, because I pulled it out of my attaché. I did it because I didn't know it couldn't be done. I was in the low 5% of my graduating class and walked in off the street to IBM and wound up with something I did in the interview allowed me to get hired instantly, and I was in the top 2% the next 8 years. Mm-hmm. But if I listened to people that I shouldn't even waste my time, I wouldn't be there. So we have these self-limiting belief systems that we should challenge. Not crazy, but at least do that. So there's an awful lot there, but you have to change the mindset, and it starts with us as leaders. We have to create a culture and make it okay I want to know if someone's doing something really crazy, but I want to give them the opportunity to step out of the zone and take prudent risk.
You know, there's a lot of consulting services out there. There are a lot of coaches, a lot of these types of things, and they all have kind of a standard or traditional approach. It sounds like you have a different approach. Tell us what's different about your approach, Marty.
We're different in a lot of ways. One is we've all been there. We've done it. I met a lot of consultants who never really did it. I started companies from scratch, so we know what it's all about. And we do things that are practical and, more importantly, that are experiential. When I teach, like, negotiations, I teach it in the morning, and over lunch I send people out in teams to go to a different restaurant. And I want them to negotiate with the restaurateur where we should have our class dinner, using all the concepts we talked about in the morning, win-win, et cetera, and know which currencies they're using. And I want them to come back and, using the techniques we taught for presentation, present to the class their findings, then we'll vote where we go. We wound up with getting 40 to 60% savings on our meal and our dinner, and we got all these extras that we never would have gotten anywhere else. And everyone knew instantly that what we talked about theoretically in class, we did, and they know everything's negotiable. And then I do an exercise with a company where I can take a team of people that never worked together intimately, and in 14 minutes create a highly functioning self-directed work team, which usually yields about 4 orders of magnitude increase in productivity. And then we can derive all the principles of good management and leadership from that 14 minutes.
Those are both brilliant teaching mechanisms where you teach and then you send people out to immediately reinforce and learn these negotiating tactics, and then they come back and compare them. I've never heard of that before. That's very brilliant. And then the 14-minute work teams sounds intriguing. What are some of the basic recommendations you would have for our listeners about thinking, negotiating, and developing better work teams?
Well, it's not just the work teams. I'll give you some examples of things they could walk away with that are huge, okay? One is you have to change the whole culture. You can't change one department. If I double your manufacturing capability and we can't sell it, what good is it? So you have to look at the whole organism and everyone buy into the belief of the future in that you have to be an opportunity-maximizing company. But there's so many immediate things that you can do. You can do an opportunity audit of your existing customers and say, how much of their business that they're giving to other companies that I could supply, could I be supplying? So instead of going out for new business, there's an awful lot right there. It's an awful lot easier selling a customer than a prospect. I would make that thinking tool, my MPV tool, that universal planning and communication tool, a common tool in the company, a new language. So if someone walks into your office, I want them to know that I'm going to ask them what their plan is, and they have to be thinking that it's not a singular plan, but it covers the range of things. I'd want them to be really current in technology. The world is changing so rapidly. When I travel now, I'm dictating on Dragon, and within a few minutes, I have a new article. I hit a button, it's text or email to my assistant, and it's ready by the time I get to the office. I'm much more efficient because technology is going to allow me to gain and maintain that competitive advantage. I think you should create your own customized decision support team, just like Vistage. I was there for 16 years. You know, even though we think we know it, we don't. And it's really great to have 13 other really cool guys who can help you make more timely, fair, and informed decisions. When I was retiring, they hired a firm for 6 weeks to capture all the intellectual capital I developed the last 20 years. It was an intriguing process. So most of us guys, we've been there, but we never had time to really think of everything we did and what it is and why it works. So I believe you should create a living lab and idea clearinghouse to capture, codify, modify, and communicate those best practices to the next generation behind us. The other big issue is most companies never even have a standard for what a 10 presentation is about my company, my products, my services, and the outcomes. And when they present it in the wrong fashion to motivate anyone to do anything. So I came up with a new standard and criteria for how to reorganize that to dramatically increase the awareness and understanding and the hit rate that you have. And those are just some very simple things that one can do, you know, to make a huge difference.
What you're talking about, it sounds like, is a lot of just squeezing more orange juice out of the orange, basically. A lot of firms could just go back, and if you picture a sliced orange and they just do a mild squeeze on it, and that's all they're doing right now, if they really go back and grind that thing and get a lot more juice out of it. But like you said, technology is changing quickly, and how you communicate and capturing some of that intellectual, really, assets that you have, capturing some of those processes. There are amazing tools that are emerging that allow firms to capture more of that intellectual data and use it more efficiently. It's an amazing time we live in with all that technology, isn't it, Marty?
It is. And one example of someone who did, I had a customer who inherited a company from his dad, 100-year-old company, and they were having trouble, and he was very upset, had to lay people off and everything. And he said, I've had it. And I said, well, let's wait about that. But if you're going to get rid of it, what do you want to do when you grow up, when you leave? Do you want to retire or work? I want to work. Criteria, do you want to be an Indian or cheap? I want to be an Indian. Do you want to have equity? So we had 8 or 9 key criteria of what someone should have for a job, and then we prioritized it. Then I said, just for kicks, let's see how well that your current situation fits. We go click, click, click. Everyone was perfect. I said, my friend, you're where you should be. If you're unhappy at your dad, write a nasty letter, but don't send it. If you want to change the name of the company, do it, but it's been working for 100 years. I'd keep it. Why don't we just fix it? So we did a Green Beret meeting, and we looked at what we can do with existing clients because I had an 18 to 24-month lead time on new business. So we had to squeeze that lemon, whatever, get those ideas out first while the other seeds were germinating, the level 2 and level 3 seeds. And so we did the Green Beret meeting, and we went from $1 million loss to $1 million profit in 9 months, $2 million the next year, and $3 million the third year. So it's not just squeezing it. It's squeezing it while you're putting the better seeds in.
Aha. Great input. And so when they first come to you and they say, Marty, we've heard you speak. We love what you have to say. We want you to come help us. What are some of the initial front burner issues that they tell you that they have that they want to work on?
Most all of them want business generation. And that's not only marketing. It says it's the whole process. I want to have a system that will give me predictable, repeatable business. And I want to be able to meet and exceed the valid requirements and expectations of my customers and prospects better than all the other available alternatives. So what I do first, and with any of your listeners, we do a complimentary go-to meeting where we just talk about what their issues are and we mind map it with them. And whether they become a client is unimportant. We share some good ideas, and if we help them on their journey, great. If they're a client, even better. But first I want to make sure that what people want is not necessarily what they need. So we go through a process of really understanding what are the core things that they need in order to get where they want to go. I don't believe in selling. I believe in giving people what they need versus, you know, selling stuff. So we do that as a courtesy. We like to earn the right to do business with people.
Sure, it makes a lot of sense. Marty, we're out of time for today, but it has been fascinating, a whirlwind 20 minutes. Again, Marty Jackness of Opportunity Maximizers, Inc. Marty, how do our listeners get in touch with you best?
Maximizers has a Z in it, by the way. They can call me at 516-816-4464 or email me at imartyj@aol.com. And we'd be delighted to talk. And I have a lot of articles on what we talked about here on opportunity blindness and a number of things. So I've been in Inc. and success and that sort of thing. So we have a lot of materials we can give folks on their journey.
It's imartyj@aol.com is the email address. Fascinating.
Correct.
Great information. I took about 2 pages of notes just in our last 20 minutes, and I hope our listeners did too, Marty. And I would love to have you back sometime soon to dig more into some of this, because I know that we've just scratched the surface today, and it's been fantastic. So thank you so much for joining us.
Bill, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Have an awesome day. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break right now. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
It's time for another Experts Corner with Jeffrey M. Verdon of Verdon Law Group with his tips about estate and asset protection planning.
Jeff, you've written extensively about a trust you call the HISET Trust. What is it and where is it best utilized?
The HISET Trust is what we affectionately refer to as the Flexible Gift Trust. You remember back in 2011, Congress and the President signed a bill that increased the gift tax exemption from $1 million to $5 million. If you take $5 million and you invest it over 30 years, let's say 6% rate of return, you're going to turn that $5 million into about $30 million. But if you do it inside your taxable estate, you're going to pay roughly $12 million in estate taxes, 40%. So the thinking was, give the $5 million away to a trust for your kids and let the appreciation grow outside the estate. Well, the The problem was people who just came out of the 2009 recession were not going to put $5 million into a trust when they might need the money for themselves. And so I thought that if there wasn't a way that the taxpayer could get those assets back, then people weren't going to utilize the $5 million gift exemption. I found a way to do this. A person can create a trust, like in a state like Nevada, put an asset up to $5 million into their trust, and 30 years from now, when the assets are $30 or $40 million, there's going to be no estate tax. But if along the way the taxpayer needs or wants some of those assets back, he need only ask the trustee for a distribution, and the trustee would have the power to do that. Now, you can't do that with a trust located in the state of California, but if we go to Nevada or Alaska or Delaware, Wyoming, their laws allow for this. When I discovered that we could do this, I wrote down our clients can have their cake and eat it too, and that acronym spells HISET. Now, I've never had a client invoke that provision, but it's there in case they need it.
To contact the Jeffrey M. Verdon Law Group, call 949-333-8150 or visit them online at jmvlaw.com. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. If you want to sell your business, choose a business broker with integrity and experience. Empire Business Solutions has been a leading independent M&A specialist in Orange County since 2005. They've handled over 75 successful transactions, and it starts with strict confidentiality, then valuation, through marketing and closing the transaction. To have a confidential discussion and get a free business valuation, call Roy Moss, president of Empire Business Solutions, at 714-374-6430. That's 714-374-6430. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. TLD Law can turn your exit planning dreams into legal reality. I've had the pleasure of working with the lawyers at TLD Law for over 10 years, and I know from personal experience that this firm knows how to assure that you, your family, and business are all protected. Whether you need an estate plan, a corporate shareholder agreement, or a complete business succession strategy, TLD Law should be your next call. Visit tldlaw.com or call 949-756-0684. Again, that's tldlaw.com or 949-756-0684.
And now the Exit Coach Radio Show proudly presents the All-Star Review, a compilation of one-minute highlights from past guests. Hear more one-minute highlights and full interviews from these guests at ExitCoachRadio.com.
What are some of the factors that go into evaluating a business at any given time? We asked valuation expert Christopher Mercer.
It's one thing to say that your value is worth what a willing buyer and a willing seller will pay, but that same willing buyer and same willing seller won't pay the same thing in 2008 as they will in 2014, because in 2008 the world was full of uncertainty that caused financing to dry up, and it was enormously difficult to sell. Some of your listeners that are listening to this need to think about the fact that they need to be thinking of an orderly transition of management and ownership, because when bad things happen to your company, you lose all flexibility in terms of ownership and management transition. So take care of those things now while you can.
Being in business is inherently risky. We all know that. But what are some of the most common mistakes that business owners make and their potential solutions? We asked for comments from attorney Mayar Ghassemian.
One of the important mistakes is not having a corporation or LLC or another form of entity that would limit their liability in case they get sued. I have seen a lot of companies that do this, and it's very prevalent in the construction industry. If they are around for a while and they don't have an entity, they are going to be sued sometimes, especially in construction. And what happens is then they put their own personal properties in danger because they don't have an entity that would protect them.
What are some of the important factors that go into a professional business valuation? We asked expert Roger Winsby.
Valuation is really about a sense of future opportunities offset by the risks. And if you don't really think those through as it relates to each individual company, you won't really understand whether you might be above average on that multiple or below average. but it's going to be quite rare when you're right on the average or the median. So it's quite an issue that comes up in terms of understanding, you know, the business and being able to document your findings. Valuation is really about future. And as much as, you know, people want to say, well, you know, here are my retained earnings and here's what I've done, and that's, you know, very important context. But ultimately, if someone wants to buy the business, they're buying the future opportunity and weighing that against the future risks.
You know, a lot of business owners I talk to have an image in their mind of how they're going to put up a for sale sign and sell their business quickly and easily, get a big check and invest it. Here's a message from someone who's done it, Veronica Saldivar.
A lot of folks just think I'm going to sell for X amount of dollars. And, you know, especially here for us in California and other similar states, taxes are a huge, huge consideration. It takes a big bite at your bottom line. I think also one of the other things is to consult with a CPA on that tax liability. When I was negotiating the sale of my business and negotiating the purchase and sale agreement, I also met several times with a tax attorney as well. He helped me draft the documents to prepare to make sure that I was going to fall under cap gains tax treatment, which was huge.
When you're undertaking a big project like exit planning, it's important to know that your advisors are using a specific process. Here's Leo Klein.
Our approach is to say, well, let's have initially that conversation. Let's do some initial fact finding on everything that is in, you know, that it needs to be looked at to develop that strategy. And once we've sort of have developed the strategy, what we do is present that strategy in sort of in a team meeting to all the other advisors, and if needed, we bring in some new advisors if there are certain gaps. Here's the strategy, here are the facts. Let's discuss this and provide your input and suggestions. Let's refine the strategy based on your expertise, and then let's finalize it and then implement it. And then from my perspective, best practice is that sort of you repeat this process once a year until you conduct your exit.
What are some of the key things that a buyer looks for when they're buying a business? We asked a gentleman who's bought a lot of businesses, Ace Chapman, for his ideas.
The two things that we focus on when either we buy a business outright or we go in and invest in a business is we want the operations really to kind of be everything to be there. What we add on top of that is two things. Most people have not spent a lot of time investing or building out their marketing funnel. And the second part of that is having almost like a franchise-like operations manual that allows the person to come in and feel really comfortable that they're going to be able to run the business and take over from where you are. You want to stand out and have those kind of extras that just make it an easy investment for the buyer.
What are some of the trends because of the global economy? We asked international law expert Kenneth August.
You mentioned manufacturing. That's a perfect example of where the thinking today is very different from where it was even 5 years ago. And by that I mean traditionally a company might look at outsourcing their manufacturing, let's say to China as an example, in order to lower their cost of production. Mm-hmm. But really, with the consumer markets moving into those countries where they were outsourcing, it makes a lot more sense today to look not at a unilateral outsourcing manufacturing play, but how can you develop a revenue base and profitability in that local market? And maybe instead of doing all your outsourcing in China, you also have manufacturing in Eastern Europe or in Latin America, and they become concentric circles of new markets that you can sell your products and services into.
Most people think of planning for their death when they visit with an estate planning attorney, but here's another viewpoint from estate planning attorney Michael Wittick.
I tell people all the time, you know, you probably came to me to plan for your death when the baby boomer's biggest problem, I think, is disability. In fact, there are things worse than death, and some types of disability fall into that category. They've already done a study in 2014 and determined that in California, the average cost of long-term care is now $94,000. I would say in almost every case, I recommend that people go get a long-term care insurance consultation just so that they can find out, because that's one of the things that is rapidly changing right now to take care of this increased cost. They are repackaging it, and there are new companies in and some older companies that used to offer it are now out of California. Things are changing in that field just like many others.
Hear more 1 Minute Highlights and full interviews from these guests at ExitCoachRadio.com.
This segment of the show features Lorraine Bifolco, Vantaggio HR from San Juan Capistrano. Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a delight to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and we're going to talk about your business, but first we'd like to give our listeners a little overview about who they're hearing from. So could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. Well, I graduated from college with a degree in French and English literature, so people often wonder how I possibly got into HR. Was studying in France at the Sorbonne, came back to the States, and got hired by a company that needed somebody that was bilingual, and the company grew very rapidly, and I just fell into the position of HR. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got started. Worked for them for about 5 years, then relocated to California and started doing some freelance consulting. That next thing I knew, I had a business in front of me.
Well, that's great. And did you start Vantaggio right then, or was that, did it kind of evolution after that?
I started it pretty much upon my arrival in California 20 years ago now, and solo freelanced for 3-4 years until I made the decision to actually grow my client base and to start hiring employees, and we created the company at that point in time.
And what sizes and types of businesses do you like to work with?
That's a great question. We have two ways of working with companies, and I'll explain a little bit. When sometimes we become an HR department for an organization, that's typically a company that's privately held, maybe under about 100 employees. For our clients that just come to us for specific projects, they could be as large as, we've worked with Paramount Pictures, Mazda, so some very, very large organizations.
So people can work with you in one of two ways then. You can be their outsourced HR.
Correct.
Which typically would be maybe a smaller company that doesn't really think they need a full-time HR person, but they certainly need someone looking after everything, right?
Exactly.
And then for bigger companies that just need a project?
Exactly. They need a compensation study done. They need training conducted. They're a multi-state operation that needs an employee handbook written. They come to us for a project like that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So that gives you a couple different ways to work with businesses. What's your sweet spot? What size business do you typically hear from that says, let's in the first space where we're talking about the outsourced HR?
Usually about under 100 employees. Sometimes it can be as large as 200, but once they start getting up into the multiple hundreds, pretty typically a company is going to have inside HR.
Okay. And what about at the small end?
Small end, companies could be as few as 2-3 employees.
Okay. So yeah.
Really small employers sometimes use our services, yes.
So there's thousands of companies out there that can use your services probably within a 15-mile radius of where we are right now here in Costa Mesa.
Absolutely. And because we're very scalable, we will allow clients to use us in a way that makes sense for their budget. So if they need to call us once every 6 months, if they have a question, that's fine. If they need us on site in their offices 3 days a week, we do that as well.
So what are some of the first questions you get from clients, new clients, when they call you and say, we want to talk about maybe hiring you, and we have a few questions?
They pretty much, the first phone call is that they either have significant pending issue, frequently it's, I need to fire somebody and I'm concerned about the liability, or it's just a general sense of uncertainty about whether they're in compliance or not. We read the newspaper and watch TV all the time, and we hear constantly about how easy and how continued easily it's becoming, even more and more easy, to sue an employer, for an employer to get tripped up on compliance or have a government agency come in and audit. And that concern and fear over those things happening and what that dollar amount could be if the bad stuff does happen has them call us up and sometimes say, I don't know what I don't know. Can you guys come in and kick the tires and tell us if we're in good shape or not?
So a lot of times the catalyst is there's something bad happening around them and they want to make sure it doesn't get worse or deal with an issue. Now, is it getting more difficult these days? Are there more laws, or are we just hearing about it more? What's happening?
No, it is getting more difficult, and there are more laws. In fact, I on the board, and I chair a committee for an organization called the California Small Business Association. And my job within the organization is to review the pending legislation every year and then make recommendations as to whether the laws that they're proposing to pass in the employment arena are going to be good or bad for small businesses. Interestingly enough, if we deem that they're good or bad for a small business, they're pretty much good or bad for any business.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I just got reviewing the pending legislation this year. There's at least 20 potential laws on the books that are going to and place significant, costly additional restrictions on employers.
So for a business owner who says, you know, I really didn't want all this stuff.
No kidding.
I really just wanted to work for myself, and I saw a niche and a problem, and I wanted to fill it. Now they got this tag-along of all of these employees and issues and things like that. To keep up with all this, they really need somebody like you to come in and say, look, we're keeping up on it. Don't worry. This one affects you. This one doesn't. Here's our checklist, right?
That's really true. It's gotten to the point, especially in the state of California. Other states are easier, but in California, whether it be a company like ours, whether it be that they go out and educate themselves, there's a plethora of information on the web. An employment attorney, there are ways for companies to get that information, but they have to proactively do it. And it's for our company, this is all we do all day long. It's a full-time job keeping on top of the changes.
Yeah, for most business owners, it's not their favorite part of the job, and to keep up with all of this stuff, again, it's how often do you recommend that somebody have a meeting with you to make sure that the new things that are coming down the line aren't going to effectively be preventative in that department?
At least annually? Yeah. We used to recommend, for example, that companies update their employee handbooks at least every couple of years. We're in a day and age right now where things are sometimes changing more than once within the year. So at least annually is kind of a good rule of thumb.
So if someone has an employee handbook that's 2 years old, it needs changes, it needs updates?
It's almost certainly out of compliance.
Yep. Okay, in one way or another, and it could end up costing them a whole bunch.
Yeah, and most companies that come to us, the handbook is not 2 years old. It's usually older than that. And if you go back past, say, 2009, it's significantly out of compliance.
Wow, so yeah. That could cost them a lot of money at some point.
Could,
right?
A lot of money and a lot of pain.
Well, nobody wants money and pain to be a problem these days. So what are the most common HR misconceptions that business owners have?
I think the overriding biggest misconception you somewhat already alluded to is that business owners have a tendency to put their head in the sand about these compliance issues. They're busy providing their service or manufacturing whatever product it is that they sell. They assume that if the employees aren't saying anything, everything is fine. I see a lot of owners, too, that think, oh, that HR stuff or employment law, that only affects big companies. I don't have to worry about it. And in fact, the larger you get as an organization with employee headcount, the more laws that do apply to you. But a very significant number of laws in California kick in at the 5-employee threshold and even at the 1-employee threshold. So that not recognizing that they have that compliance responsibility is a very common mistake, I would call it, that I see employers make.
Most business owners think, well, I'll risk it. That won't happen to me. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. And then something happens and they give you a call and say, hey, the house is burning. Can you bring some water? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what would be a better approach for someone? Is there some kind of an audit you put them through, or some kind of when you first sit down with someone, do you say, look, let's go through a checklist of what you have and don't have and figure out where we should prioritize?
Yeah, absolutely. We do provide HR audits, very full-blown audits, where we come in and assess kind of everything, every practice, including payroll and the wage and hour, leave administration, benefits, employee files, everything. Give them a really exhaustive report back of where they're in good shape and where they need to shore things up. We also have a program that is a consulting hotline. We call it our RELAX program. I'm kind of proud of it because it stands for real-time employment and labor advice exactly when you need it. We actually trademark that. That's not too cool,
wow,
isn't
you should
it?
Work for the government. That's a good acronym.
It's a great acronym. We got t-shirts and everything. Yes.
Like
RELAX.
That.
We take
That's
the stress
great.
Out of HR.
Very good.
So for a very affordable price, much less than what it would cost to charge on an hourly basis, clients can call us up. It's an unlimited consulting hotline. So before they take that action and potentially do something that's going to create liability for themselves, they have the ability to pick up the phone, speak with one of our consultants, and we'll walk them through the pros and cons of different alternatives.
Well, that sounds like a great resource for anyone to have.
It does.
Easy as picking up the phone and calling in and saying, here's my question. Are a lot of questions answerable right then and there, or do some of them have to be researched?
I would say 95% of them are answerable right then and there.
Okay, so it's not difficult, complex knowledge they're looking for, just what's happening, how do I protect myself, and how do I stay on top of this, right?
It's frequently I've got an employee situation that I either need to discipline the employee, or I need to terminate somebody, or somebody's going out on a medical leave. Those are very, very common questions that the employers call up and are a little bit unsure about what their rights as an employer are and uncertain about what the employee's rights are.
It sounds like it'd be a very valuable commodity, resource for anybody to have.
Yeah, thank you.
So what are some of the other common issues that you come across where you say, I've seen this before, you're not the first person to come up with this, but you really need to deal with this?
Leaves of absence, employees mm-hmm. going on workers' comp. If I had $5 for every time someone called me up and said, well, there's this employee that's been a rotten employee and we were thinking of getting rid of him or her, but now the person has been injured at work, or now the person has come forward and said that they need surgery, need to take a leave of absence, that employee then gets cloaked under the protection of federal and state law, and it's much more difficult for an employer to take any adverse action. It's a really, really tough one, and employers get tripped up on that frequently.
Is there any truth to the old adage, when should you fire an employee the first time you think of it?
There's a lot of truth to it. I could share a couple of anecdotes and stories about it, but okay. When you miss your window of opportunity, sometimes you're stuck for a while.
Okay, share a client story with us. Tell us about somebody that called you and you were able to come and help them out, and what was the outcome?
Oh my, we've got so many, but one that we're dealing with very recently, the employer had an employee who was found to be putting personal credit card charges on the company credit card, and handling their clients, I would say, I don't want to give too many details, but in a very inappropriate manner. It was fairly egregious behavior, and mm-hmm. the decision was made to terminate this employee. They contacted us. We counseled them about the termination. We drew up all the necessary documents, because there is, in California, explicit paperwork that has to be given to people at the time of termination. And the client was ready to proceed with terminating this fairly high-level individual in the organization, and decided to drag their feet for a few weeks. So the Friday before the termination was supposed to happen, the employee tells a coworker, I'm having a mental breakdown. Please don't tell anybody. I'm really checking myself into rehab. Leaves, checks himself into rehab, which buys you some protected status under the law once you've come forward and claimed that you have a need for rehabilitation. So the employee left town, was now in rehab. We now have notice that the person claims to have a disability, so protections under disability rights. And the same day, another employee comes forward and says that they've been sexually harassed by this employee prior to the employee's departure. So
wow.
Quite a firestorm.
That comes under the heading of complex, oh my gosh.
That's a complex, oh my gosh. Let's get the fire trucks and you said bring the water. That was what we did.
So, it's kind of a chess game sometimes with employees.
It's very much a chess game. Mm-hmm. You know.
And especially in a time when economic downturns and people are getting laid off and they see the handwriting on the wall, maybe.
Exactly.
There are certain things they can do. And the Department of Labor, how many issues that do you think, percentage-wise, the Department of Labor rules on or sees could be prevented by working with someone like yourself?
99%. I was just speaking with a client before I came here, and he was worried about making a change in company policy with regards to their vacation and some of their benefits. And he was wanting to do something a little bit unorthodox. And my recommendation was deal with any employees that might have heartache or hardship or issue, because the labor commissioner doesn't typically come out and audit companies' vacation policies. It's triggered when an employee goes and makes a complaint. So the more you can keep your employees happy and feel that they've got a voice and they're cared for, even if you're not doing things 120% to perfection, if the employees aren't upset, they're not going to go and file that complaint that's going to trigger the audit or the investigation.
I think that's a great tip. What are a couple other tips or ideas or precautions you'd share with our listeners?
It's fairly specific, but be very cautionary when you're knowing that we are an at-will employment state. A favorite employment attorney that I work with says, yes, we have at-will, but it's like Swiss cheese. There's a lot of holes in it. So people tend to rely too heavily on that I can fire at any time for any reason. You can, as long as it's not an illegal reason, and as long as an employee doesn't come back and try to claim that there was a violation of the law. So employers still need to proceed with caution when terminating employees. The other thing that I would caution employers about is wage and hour issues, and that is becoming the most popular lawsuit in California. It used to be harassment and discrimination, wrongful termination complaints. We now are seeing just a flood of wage and hour complaints. I was not properly paid overtime. I'm really a non-exempt employee and owed overtime, but you've been paying me just a flat salary and not recording my work hours. There were inappropriate deductions made out of my paycheck. Those type of wage and hour things that are very easy to make. Payroll tends to be processed by someone that may not be very savvy about employment laws as they relate to people's pay. And those are the lawsuits that are becoming class action lawsuits that are hurting even worse for that reason.
So what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
They can give us a call. Mm-hmm. At our local phone number is 949-248-0800.
Okay.
Our website is vantagiohr.com, and we also have stressfreehr.com, which is easy to remember, and it gets right to us.
Stressfree.com or
stressfreehr.com.
Stressfreehr.com. Stressfreehr.com or vantagiohr.com.
Thank you.
Stressfree.
That's easier, isn't
com.
It?
Stressfreehr.com. Lorraine, thanks very much for coming in. It's been very interesting
it's
interview.
It's been a lot of fun.
Hope you'll come back sometime and we'll get deeper into some of these issues.
I would be honored and delighted. Here. Yeah, thank you so much.
I've been talking with Lorraine Bifolco of Vantagio HR, and we'll take a short break here and then we'll come right back, so please stay tuned.
Now it's time for the Experts Corner on Branding with expert Kevin Twer of HKA Marketing Communications. Kevin, how does branding affect a company's ability to attract buyers when it's time to sell the business?
Your brand is absolutely essential. Your brand is critically important. It's really the way your company communicates to the outside world, including to potential buyers. Your brand activates your company's voice, its persona, and its overall presence. But to be clear, we don't want to be confused by the word brand. The word brand does not mean just your logo or your color scheme. Your brand is everything, certainly from your logo and your colors to the words on your website, your sales kit, your incoming telephone greeting, and even your company culture. Most importantly, your brand also includes your reputation. If your brand is not strong, your company absolutely positively is going to lack a recognized identity and simply won't connect with target audiences. Without a brand that defines you and sets you apart from your many competitors, you're going to face a difficult path as you try to sell your company. A weak brand diminishes marketplace value, and that value is actually heightened by a brand that is strategically planned and consistently implemented. Regardless of when you plan to sell, it is a must to work on your brand now. You'll be glad you did later.
For more information about HKA Marketing Communications, call them today at 714-426-0444. That's 714-426-0444. Or go online for their social media content calendar, a free guide available at hkamarcom.com. That's hkamarcom.com. Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. I want you to take just a few minutes and think about all of your assets that you've worked so hard to accumulate in your lifetime. Your business, your properties, your major assets. You're proud of those assets and you don't want anybody to take those away. However, there are many forces at work that are out to get your assets. Lawsuits, taxes, unforeseen financial calamities. You need a firm like the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group to help you look out for your assets and protect your future. They use practical and effective and elegant estate planning strategies that are individually designed to meet your specific goals and objectives. They believe in using their knowledge and expertise to create long-term effective strategies that safeguard your assets and your loved ones. Don't leave things to chance. Call the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group today and ask them how they can help you protect your assets. Their phone number is 877-774-9238. That's 877-774-9238. Tell them the Exit Coach sent you.
At BEI, Business Enterprise Institute, our mission is helping owners benefit from their life's work. We accomplish this by providing comprehensive, continual exit planning training, marketing support, certification, and plan design to business owner advisors. Thousands of exit plans have been created over the past 10 years by hundreds of advisors using our planning software to help owners grow, protect, and transfer business value. To learn more about exit planning and BEI, call us toll-free at 888-206-3009 or visit us online at www.exitplanning.com.
That's going to do it for the show today. I want to thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank my guests, my sponsors, and my producer, Julie Tabazon, for pulling the show together. It's been a real pleasure to be with you today. I want to remind you,
go to our website at exitcoachradio.com and you can dig into all kinds of interviews with advisors, including our past interviews here on AM 830. And follow us on Twitter at @ExitCoach. We'll see you again next week here on AM 830 KLAA. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.